Welcome to another edition. How you doing, folks? Welcome to another edition of the Local Voter Education Podcast. We do this on Blog Talk Radio for you every Sunday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time. In addition, you can find this podcast and other important information at fwdistrict5.com. My name is James H. McBride. I'm your host for this evening. As always, running the switchboard and riding shotgun with me is Bob Willoughby. How are you doing this evening, Bob?
I'm doing just fine, James. I'm fine. And if you want to touch on the agenda now, or do you have anything else you want to start with?
No, you're fine. That's what we usually do at the top of the show.
Okay.
You can go ahead and talk about some issues you want to on the agenda coming up this Tuesday.
Okay. On the agenda this week, the one main thing I'd like for people to take a look at is the, it's confirmation 2022. Well, I take that back. I got the wrong thing there. I'm sorry. I don't have the MC number. But anyway, it's an agreement to renew a contract for $1.6 million to keep printing our water bills. Well, our water bills are being less and less because more people are going online. Plus the leaflet inside the water bill called the City Times. It has only cosmetic news. It costs a lot of money, and nobody looks at this. Nobody knows that, and the bills are going down. The thing about this $1.6 million contract to do this, it comes with a two-year renewal option for the same annual amount. That's the catch. Between now and next year, more and more people will be off the billing system online. So the next time around with their contract, sure they're going to want to renew it when they only got to print out about half as many as they did the year before. So this needs to be pulled off the agenda and open up a little bit more and discuss for the people and give us a little bit more information about this, because I see a waste of money here. And this is what we'll be talking about Tuesday night at City Council. Now they start at 6 o'clock. But anyway, I wanted to throw that out. A lot of people complain about our water bills being too high, and if we're going to throw away $1 million here and there, no wonder. But that's mainly, I just wanted to run that one out there and let people know that's on the agenda for tomorrow night at City Council at 7, not tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. So, all right, James.
One other thing. Did you want to talk about the redistricting meeting that's going on, I believe, tomorrow at 2?
Oh, there is a redistricting meeting tomorrow at 2. I was trying to see if there was a place to sign up to speak or not. I did send out some emails about that, but to me, all these redistricting meetings, I hadn't really patronized. They're all a scam. It needs to come to a stop until this, and this is another thing we'll be, that's what we're running on there, our ad. It'll be coming out the first Wednesday of the month about the redistricting, and it needs to come to a stop. It needs to be Proposition 2, which goes to the heart of redistricting, has never been discussed, has been denied to be discussed, has been shut down from being discussed. They will not talk about Proposition 2, though it goes right to the heart of redistricting, but you're not allowed to talk about it. For 5 years, we've been asking to get Proposition 2 put on the ballot, put it on billboards, and include everybody, the general public. We have over 900,000 people in the city that doesn't have a clue about the redistricting going on in Fort Worth. The general public is kept out of this. They don't want to advertise to them. So to me, it's a scam. So I hadn't patronized any of these. I've gone to them, and if there's a place to speak tomorrow, each time I speak, I say the same thing. Stop it. Put it on the right track. Put it on the ballot. Let the people vote for two more council members, and then let's go forward. But we know, we feel strongly it will fail. City Council knows it will fail. That's why they will not. They won't get it their way. They put it on the ballot, so they leave it off the ballot. But it will fail. And if it does fail, then as far as drawing the map, sure won't be as fun as it will be adding two more districts. That's fun for these people to draw. But we're talking about $200,000 of taxpayers' money. It's not a game. This is reality. Everybody should know about it. And but anyway, we're sure it will fail. And then as far as redrawing the maps, all we got to do then is take out the gerrymandering, which was a lot of it from City Council putting in from last time redistricting. And once again, the task force is headed up by people like an ex-City Council member, people involved with the city. It's the same kind of scam. It's just a total scam. It's really a mess. But it needs to, if it wants to be done right, it's got to be stopped. put it on the ballot in May, put it on billboards, and then let's let the ball drop from there. Then we'll be on the right track. But until we do that, nothing else of this thing. That's all I ever talk about when I go down there. So I don't pay much. And I do know, you noticed and brought to my attention that Mr. Moon is very strong at redistricting part of that. He's very much involved, and Mr. Moon has come for me several times about me going after this. For some reason or another, he's the only one that speaks out. So he has something that he is getting under the table, or maybe going to help him when he runs for another position he's running for. Somewhere, Kerry Moon has something that he's getting, because no other council member speaks up like him, and he's leaving. That's what I even mentioned at the last council member. I said, why are you so involved when you're leaving? He's stepping down. But yet, he's got something in this. So I know he's got, you know, he has to have something. No one acts that way unless they're getting something out of this. So maybe he's got to deal with a judge, and that's why he's not getting in trouble. But anyway, I don't know. But there's a lot to this. But the get it on the right track. You got to stop and include the other 900,000 inhabitants of the city, let them know what's going on. Until we do that, it's not right. But anyway, that's good. I got to say my piece there, and that's cheaper than going to a counselor. Appreciate it.
All right, Bob. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest we have tonight. It's a gentleman named Robert McLaughlin. He's running for the 33rd District on the Republican side of the ticket here in Texas for the U.S. House. He was born in Colorado and moved to Texas when he was 1 year old. He's been a lifelong resident of Dallas, Texas. He grew up in a Catholic faith and attended both Brookhaven and Richland Community Colleges in 1994 and 1995 and a naval prep school. After years of working 3 years at a time, he said, he enlisted in the U.S. Navy in 1995 and served on the Presidential Ceremonial Guard from 1996 to 1998. And then he attended the Officer Candidacy School in Rhode Island in 1998. After having an injury in the military, he went to work in the landscaping industry in project management, sales, and business development. Bob, do we have our guest on the line tonight?
Well, let's see. We've got two. Let me see. Here he is right here. I believe this will be Robert at 8664. Let's see if this is Robert. Robert, do we have you on?
Or did we push the wrong person? Sir?
Is this 8664? Is this Robert?
Yeah, do you have me, sir?
Yeah, I believe we
yes,
do,
sir,
Robert.
We can
hear
you just fine.
Oh,
you know.
Fantastic. I was hoping I did this right.
No, you're fine. You're on there. We got you. Okay?
Yes, this is you're great. Fine. I really appreciate you having me on tonight.
Good. Glad you could join us tonight, Robert. Robert, you would just want to kind of introduce yourself a little bit more to us besides that brief introduction I did on you?
Well, so you covered some of the basics there. I grew up here in North Dallas, and I'm running for Congress District 33, and I've got a real firm believing in the people in that district for how hard they work, and just what they can do, and they really need a hand up versus a handout, and I'm here to help.
Okay, something I learned through doing my research on candidates running for the U.S. House is I found out that it's not required for them to live with inside the district. I was wondering, do you live inside the 33rd district?
You know, I'm right on the border, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm about one block over. I'm at Royal and 35, and I've got a place up in Oak Cliff. And so I sit right there on the border of the district of both my residences.
Okay, and then next thing I wanted to ask you about your bio is, and the most interesting thing that really popped out to me was the Presidential Ceremonial Guard. You want to talk a little bit about that experience?
Actually, I would. That's when I was there, I got to deal with a lot of world leaders and a bunch of different people like that, but one of the greatest things was, it kind of goes to my heart, the handing the flags to widows and everything else, you know, on behalf of the President of the United States, a proud Navy and a grateful nation, I present to you this ensign as a sign of appreciation for your loved ones' dedicated service to the United States of America. So it was very heartwarming, and, you know, there were a lot of people that just, you know, when you hand them the flag, they would hold on to you for 5-10 minutes just with honor and pride. And so that was just a really impactful time of my life that I really appreciated.
Thanks, Robert. I want to remind everybody that if you've got a question or a comment for our guest tonight, you can call into 515-602-9610. Press 1 to get into queue. Phone number is 515-602-9610. Press 1 to get into queue, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. Moving on here to your platform, you've got quite a
yes,
few
sir.
Things listed as priorities for it.
Yes, sir.
One of the things I wanted to start with on you for it is the energy dependency. Where do you see us as energy here as our nation, and what do you think can be done to change it?
Well, I believe when we shut down the pipelines and different projects that were in place, I believe that put us behind. We were moving forward with energy independence, and now we're having to pay, I know what the price of a barrel of oil is now, is $82, $85. Right now, that money's going straight into the people's hands that we don't want to go into. We need to take energy independence back and reopen our pipelines and move forward with energy independence.
Your next issue that you discuss on here, or one that's on here on your platform, is immigration. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I'm out and I'm talking to people in the neighborhoods and talking to business owners and talking to people on the street. And when you deal with immigration, people that came over legally and went through all the steps and the processes, they do not like other people coming in and getting basically a free pass. So I am very strong for making sure that immigration is, you know, can be a little more streamlined. I think it takes a little too much time now, but we want to make sure that we have a strong stance on immigration, a little bit of reform as far as speeding up the process and moving forward that way.
Another platform issue you have is policing and military.
Yes, sir.
You want to discuss that with us?
So policing, if you can just imagine what a police officer or a first responder goes through every day, you know, where you come up on a car crash or you deal with a domestic violence situation, we need to have a lot more respect for what they see every day, and we need to stand behind them and say thank you a lot more. If there's, you know, there needs to be counseling if, you know, if they need a little bit of help, because, I mean, just imagine what they see on a day in and day on, day out basis. It's just, it's unbelievable. My whole family is first responders up in the Northeast. And just what they see on a day in and day out basis is, it can be very taxing, and we need to have more respect for them. I was meeting with Sheriff Wayborn the other day and Deputy Chief here in Irving. It's just, you know, there just needs to be a lot more respect for what they have to deal with.
Another issue you have that you think is a priority to you is education. You want to talk about changes you want through the education system?
That's a very easy one. I was at a school board meeting the other night, and not once did they actually discuss reading, writing, and arithmetic. The entire session was about who gets what school and who gets this power and who gets this power. We need to get back to the basics to help our students and our teachers
just get the basic knowledge that should be taught in schools. We don't need to be talking about critical race theory or masks and mandates. We need to be discussing and working to actually educate our students and our kids so that they have the foundation to move forward in life.
And one of the last things you have on your platform is freedom of speech. You want to discuss that a little bit?
Freedom of speech. You know, there's we have different things with, you know, these online media places. There's not a whole lot you can do with them. If you have an open platform for freedom of speech, you should be able to say what you'd like to say. But there are some common sense things, like you shouldn't be spouting off hatred. You shouldn't be doing things like promoting sex trafficking, things like that. Some of that's just common sense that should be taken down off of those sites. But other than that, if you have a platform that's open, it shouldn't be decided by some other person what's going to be on there. A lot of common sense needs to come into play.
So by listening to your answer there, it seems to me that you think 230 protections should be eliminated.
I was looking at 230, and I need to do a little more research on it. I don't have all of the facts on it. It seemed like it has a little bit of play in it where it's kind of, I would say, wonky. It opens up some avenues that I want to do some more research on, to be honest with you.
Okay. Another thing is that when we look at the 33rd district here in the state of Texas, it seems to be drawn very heavily Democratic. What is your plan to get your message out there?
Oh, my gosh. It's like if you take a piece of spaghetti and threw it on a wall, that's the way they drew that district up. Can you go back into your question again? That one always throws me a little bit, just the way it's drawn out very, very heavily Democratic. I'm actually thinking now back to your question, and to me, I like it. It's about 67% Hispanic, I think, is the number, and it's a very powerful group. I think that it's not getting enough respect, and they don't have a strong leader to help improve their quality of life. Seems like they're trying to hold them down versus trying to build them up.
It seems like with the way the lines have been drawn and the redistricting with everything, it looks like that the Panther Island project is going to go in the 33rd district if this stands now. Do you have any comments you'd like to make about that?
I was reading about the Panther Island project. That's where they're going to they want that kind of that island built right there in Fort Worth area. I need to do a little more research on it, to be honest with you. It seems like a lot of money's been spent there and it hasn't really gone anywhere. And I do need to do some more research on it, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you where you can get some research. You go over to White Settlement Road there, right
do,
by the loop, and ask some of those businesses about it. I was just going to say how you can get some more research done. If he goes over to White Settlement Road there, run off of Henderson and White Settlement Road and ask some of those businesses what they think about that Panther Island, he'll get a lot of research. There's a lot of people that are really mad about that. And that's how we're getting some of our donations coming out of that area, because they are really upset with what's happening over that area and with Panther Island. And so,
yes.
Robert, if you do some circulating around over there and ask some of those shops and stores on 35, on White Summit Road there, just right, maybe just west of Henderson. There's lots of, different dealer stuff, and ask them about what they think about it, and you may get a lot of support out of that area. I mean, because they do not like.
It's very interesting. It's like they're trying to make a little mini Manhattan, and I don't get it.
That's what you're right on target. That's what it's going to be. Betsy Price and Kate Granger and everybody's got their hands in there, and I don't know what all, but they sure wouldn't let the people know. When I showed it to some of my neighbors, they couldn't believe it. I thought, what's this? And, you know, it's really a mess. But our whole city's a mess here. It really is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about moving
if you're going to spend the money on something, it needs to be spent, you know, where there's plenty of land. I mean, there's so much open land out here. It just seems ridiculous.
Well, I think more people should know about stuff, too. They should be informed.
Yeah.
And get people approval before we do things and include the citizens on what's going on instead of just ruling it. And that's what we got.
Absolutely.
Kind of a government that just rules us. You know, they don't ask us anymore. They just tell us. So that's at least in Fort Worth. And so I don't know. How's your mayor in Dallas? How do you like your new mayor?
I haven't gotten to meet the new mayor, to be honest with you. I considered running for that position at one point, and I just Dallas really needs to work on the fundamentals versus a lot of things they're working on right now. So I think we can make some improvements here.
Yeah. And you're right there on the south part of Dallas, right? Maybe close to Oak Cliff or?
Yeah, I've got a place close to Oak Cliff and then the place
okay.
up in Irving. So, you know, I see it. Yeah, what blows my mind is, you know, you drive down the road these days and you don't see any police officers. You know, they're all being, you know, they're just scared to be out and actually do something. I was talking to some of the sheriffs and they're like, you know, you got people that have been in 18, 20 years and they don't want to do anything right now. They want to be proactive because they're scared of getting, you know, in some kind of weird situation.
Mm. Well, I can imagine.
You know,
I know that. I work over there at Starplex and are at the Cotton Bowl.
Oh.
And when I came out at a 4th of July event, I'll never forget one night when I came out of there, I turned on the wrong street and wound up going down through part of the residential area, Oak Cliff and there. And I swear, every yard, every house was firing off fireworks, left and right. I mean, it was like driving. I think my ears are still ringing. But anyway, that place is out of control over there, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know if it was gunshots or fireworks or what was going off. Like for New Year's, I just got in my car and I left. I was like, this is out of hand.
Well, you get a mixture.
Out of hand.
And we've gotten bullets in the roofs over here and stuff. So it's a bit of a mess there. But anyway, I didn't mean to get off track there. But you know, you being in
that part
of Dallas, you're really in a good part to work against Mark Veazey. Most of the people that ran have always been over here in Fort Worth area, which Mark Veazey's over here by me. And we're definitely going to be,
yeah,
you know, I don't want Mark Veazey in there. But you're in a good area to work that area over there, try to get, you know, neighborhood associations, HOAs, you know, and whatever.
Well, I used
to
be on the board of directors for Community Associations Institute, which is CAI. So, yes, in fact, my campaign manager is from HOA management. So I
but you can drum
some
support that way, maybe because you know the area, and in that area you can drum. Most of these people always been in this area, and they don't look at that area. It's hard for them to, you know. So, but anyway, I'll let James get back in there.
I appreciate the dialogue. Yeah, no, I mean, if there's any other topics we want to talk about, you know, defending our country, looking at Afghanistan, and I mean, there's bigger picture things to look at as well as local things. So I'm open to whatever you'd like to talk about.
Well, sure. Since you
if
brought
I don't
it
know,
up,
I'll tell you, I don't know.
Absolutely. Since you brought it up, I just want to get your thoughts on Afghanistan and the withdrawal.
I believe that was a complete cluster. I don't know anyone. You know, my father was a veteran. I'm a veteran. And I don't know a single person in the military that would have, before getting everyone out, unless they were ordered. So I think that that was really, really handled poorly. There's still people over there that need to come out that deserve our support. And it was not done right. You know, they blame that... the former president made the deal, but you know, you can always go in and say, no, we're going to change our minds here. We're not leaving until we get all our people out. So that was handled very poorly.
From you serving in Afghanistan, what were the biggest issues that you had to deal with and overcome?
In Afghanistan?
Yes, sir.
I did not, personally, I did not serve in Afghanistan.
Okay, I thought you did. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's fine. I worked at the White House and the Pentagon and places like that. I did not, when I deployed, they flew us in, they flew us out.
Okay, can you talk about those experiences you had in the White House and the Pentagon at all?
Sure. If I go into a funny story, my first time at the White House, we marched up. I was there under Bill Clinton. They said, if something happens, please don't duck, because I'm a Republican. And then I tripped over a wire and fell flat on my face in the front lawn of the White House. And then after that, it was mostly being with, like, the president of Brazil or different folks doing ceremonial duties and briefings. I knocked over Secretary Cohen one day, and General Ralston and Janet Reno had walked by, and I accidentally, well, not accidentally, I was holding my post. I put my hand up, and I put Secretary Cohen on his back, so I felt bad about that. My commander called me into her office and started to give me a lesson, and then gave me a letter of commendation for doing a good job. So got to learn a lot. And actually sitting there in the briefing at the Pentagon was very educational. And hearing what actually happens is so much different than what the media portrays. So it was very, very educational.
Getting back to talking about this race for the 33rd District here in Texas, one of the biggest struggles
Yes, sir.
You're probably going to have is because of the power on the left-hand side of the ticket is fundraising. Just wondering, how is fundraising looking for you, and what are you doing to collect funds to make sure your message gets out to the people?
Well, right now I've actually been self-funding the whole campaign. We're just starting to hit the packs and different things. I've got skin in the game. I've got probably about 30 checks just sitting here up on my wall right now. I'm not going to cash until I win the primary. And as far as getting the message out, the signs will be out starting next week, 4-foot by 6-foot with my picture on it. And mostly English, a little bit of Spanish. Right now, I'll probably be about $50,000 deep in the hole as far as what I'm putting in myself to win this position.
And coming on shows like this, that's helping you, huh? Sorry.
You know what? A show like this is fantastic. I really enjoy the heck out of it. Yeah, I wish I was doing this in person.
Yeah, you know, we'd love to, maybe. Yeah, we'd love to be on Channel 190. So we're working at it. If we can, that would be so great to be able to bring people
on.
You guys
are doing a great job.
And so
thank
we'll see if we can do that.
Well, Bob, I'm curious.
So
we're down at the bottom of the hour here. Do we have any phone calls for the guests tonight?
Well, we have listeners, but no one's pushed one to have a question. But we got 200 renters listening. But sometimes people have questions, and sometimes they're just tuning in, you know, to hear. So,
if we want to talk about lowering crime,
absolutely, go
in
ahead.
The area, I mean, there's we have plenty of laws on the books right now that need to be enforced, and folks that have been arrested 60, 70 times are still let out without bail and different things like that. It just doesn't make sense. You know, if we want to actually reduce crime, and if we want to reduce the spending for law enforcement, let's just enforce the laws on the books. You know, let's just get that done. You know, if you commit a felony in multiple times, you shouldn't be out on the streets. It's just, there's some very simple things out there. And as far as we go into immigration and things like that and work and people saying, I'm just coming here to work, there's the H-2B program, which has been around for a long time. That's folks that pick, you know, they go out in the fields and they work the fields and they come over for 9 months and then they go home for 3 months. It's up to the employer to handle their transportation and things like that. There's so many programs already on the books. We need to enforce them.
Well, I know one of the most shocking things for me, Robert, that I read in the news, I guess within this last week, was that the TSA is allowing illegal immigrants to use arrest papers for flying documents, which seemed kind of shocking to me. Have you heard about that at all?
Okay. You know, I saw that headline yesterday, I think, when I was looking at my phone. I did not open the article, but I almost fell out of my chair, to be honest with you. Like, are you kidding me? Here's my arrest documents, and that's what I'm going to use for my identification. That's just ridiculous. I didn't read into that article, but I really almost fell out of my chair.
Well, Robert, they always say if you want to get involved and you want to do the most to change, it's got to be done at the community level. You picked to go at a national level here to do something. What made you think you could do the most change at a national level instead of the local level?
Well, that's a pretty easy question. I'm a big picture kind of guy. And I'm used to developing teams and putting the people in place to funnel things down to affect change. So that's why I decided to go a little bit bigger, because that's more of my strength, as just building a team and then affecting change and then supporting others. That's one of the greatest things you can do in life, is support others, put together teams, and affect change by having certain goals and then funneling it down through the people that you're taking care of.
Well, that probably leads into my next question here, Robert. If the right-hand side of the ticket is lucky enough to win back the House during this midterm election here, there's a good chance that they're going to have to sit on it for 2 years before they're really able to do anything. What would be your plan to get something done if that's the case? It's a split chambers.
So we have split between the House and the Senate?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Again, it goes back to developing your team, putting together your plan, and getting the right people in place to affect change.
Have you started on any preliminary plans in your head of things you'd like to do to affect change?
Yes, actually, I was looking at different committees to be a part of, foreign affairs, budget. Budget's one of the biggest ones. We have a lot of wasteful spending. When we had the financial crisis of 2008, 2009, 2010, I think one of the first bills was for $989 billion or something, somewhere in that ballpark, right? And now we're spending $5 trillion. So part of my plan is to make sure when we put something in place, each page of, say, a 2,000-page bill must be signed, dated, initialed by whomever is voting on it. So there are some policies I'd like to put in place, so you're not just going to – you can't just go vote down your party line. You have to read and understand what's on those bills. And there should be a place on there, if you oppose a certain section of a bill, you need to write down your opinions on there so people know exactly what you are voting on.
one of the topics I can't get you out of here tonight, Robert, without discussing, because I think it's probably one of the most volatile topics we have in society for us today. That has to be COVID-19. Would you like to just discuss that with us a little bit?
COVID-19, it almost killed me. I spent 4 days in the hospital, so I am very familiar with it. Trust me that. I do not believe that there should be mandates for people to put something in their body that has, you know, I'm dealing with different scientists right now as far as what the mRNA and everything else does to your body over time, how it can affect your immune system. Kids should not be forced to take it. Parents need to have control over their own kids. The government should not have anything to do with telling you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. I can't wear a mask for a long period of time because it hurt my lungs. But I'm still not getting the vaccines. So it's an issue very near and dear to my heart, let me put it that way.
Well, thanks for sharing your experience with us. Bob, I want to throw it back to you, see if you've got a question. I know you've always got things you want to learn about.
Yeah. I'm trying to look up here. I was trying to find who your opponents are here on your who you're running against for the on our side here. I'm on the Republican side there in the midterm here.
I believe his name is Patrick Gillespie.
Patrick,
he hasn't reached his threshold to be on the FEC website, but I've talked to him.
I can't find anything. I think I tried to reach out to him. No return calls, nothing.
Yeah.
I tried to reach out. I couldn't get a hold of him. I tried that. And I was just pulling up again on Google to see who else, and there's a Jake running for something. But some people don't put what district they're running for. I mean, it's kind of confusing on the on Google now.
Yeah, I was a bit curious about that. I'm like, is this guy just a ghost, or you know? Until I finally met him in person one day.
But that is the one guy you was talking about. That's the one you're talking about.
That's
he's the
only
one, right?
I've got. Yeah,
okay.
That's it. But
that's it.
Yeah, you know,
okay.
I've been with Governor Abbott twice this week. You know, it's just kind of like, where is this guy? So
yeah. I don't think you have to spend a lot of money. It wouldn't be wise to spend a lot of money on this primary. I think you can go past him pretty easy, I believe, and save it for, like you said, pass this for the primaries is where you're going to need your money. And because he doesn't seem to be in it. And it was funny. I work at the Dallas Cowboys, and one of the ushers I've known for years over there, he's very involved. Matter of fact, he lives in Dallas, a part of it, and ran for mayor once over there.
Dallas Cowboys?
He can't. Yeah. But he came to me at one of the games.
I know Jerry Jones. I used to work for work on his developments.
Yeah. Well, then call and have him come on the show, would you? I appreciate that. But anyway. He came to me and was telling me I ought to get the what's the guy you said running, Patrick, or what's his name? I forgot his name. You said it was on the.
I think it's Patrick Gillespie.
Gillespie. I don't know why I can't remember that. Gillespie? That's why I know that's his name when I hear it. I hear that Gillespie, but I can't remember it. But anyway, he knew him. And he was telling me I ought to have him on the show. And I told him, well, get him
thing,
to come
you know,
on. So,
if your name is a head on the ballot, you know, because if you do it alphabetically, you get 7 points automatically right there. So I'm trying to get my name put ahead of him on the ballot so I don't lose my 7 points.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, he, like I said, he knew him and, you know, said he's going to get him to come on the show, but we ain't got any word from him. So I don't think he's any challenge. I just can't see it. But anyway.
You never know. It's
yeah.
You know, I'm doing the work. I'm out there and meet with folks. And I mean, are there any other subjects we'd like to approach this evening that I could put my stamp on and say exactly how I feel? Anything else you'd like to discuss?
Sure, Robert. It seems like as a nation we seem to be so divided, one against the other. Do you have ideas that could help bring us back together, or what do you think it is that divided us so much?
As far as getting back together, you know, there are some really basic things we can do. You know, you hold the door open for someone. You know, if someone lets you on the highway, you wave. I mean, when you get back just to the basics, as far as getting back together, Martin Luther King said, you know, it's about your character. You know, people need to have character and strength. You know, I have a conversation with someone, we're having a great time, and they say, oh, are you Republican? I say, yeah, I'm Republican. Like, oh, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm like, we've been sitting here having a conversation for an hour, having a great time, and actually dialoguing back and forth. Let's get back to the basics as people and be together. It's very simple. We're stronger united than anything else. So there's just we need to get back to the basics.
So essentially you're saying the erosion of the basics is what's caused us to be so divided.
That would be a fair statement, yes.
Do you think there's anything else that's been involved in that process at all?
The media is probably going to hate me, but, people are always searching for ratings, you know, and the more trouble you stir up, you know, the better your viewership is. You know, it's just we need to get back to the real basics, not worry about stirring things up, and actually report on what's going on in the world.
Bob, do you have anything else you'd like to ask our guests tonight? I know we're winding down here.
Yeah, oh, gosh, can we go for like 5 more hours? Man, I'm really enjoying this.
Okay. Well, I was curious about how far – that's what I was going to ask you earlier. Sometimes things come along, y'all talking about, and I want to make a point about it, and it slips my mind by the time I come around, but it came back to me. You mentioned Spanish. How are you doing on learning Spanish?
Well,
I think that would be a big help to be real bilingual, too.
I used to be on a landscape crew, and that's kind of where I started. So I used to be able to talk quite fluently with the El Salvadorians, the Nicaraguans, the people from Mexico. And then as I transitioned through life and got into consulting and things, I lost some of my Spanish skills, but they're coming back to me. What's funny is, you know, most people I talk to, they're like, well, we don't speak Spanish. We've been here, you know, so
yeah.
it hasn't really been an issue, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, okay. I know there's a lot of Spanish, and I just wonder if it helped or not. That way you can put it in your cards and on your leaflets or whatever, that you do both languages. I don't think Mark Visa can do two languages. I don't think he can do one.
I've never seen the gentleman. I'd never even heard of him, to be honest with you.
I've met with him. I went over to do an interview. I went over to a deal, and he asked me to reschedule it because I was running for office. He said, come back afterwards. You know, he's never gave me no. He won't give us an interview. He won't come on. He won't talk. He lives close to me, not too far from where I'm at.
I'll see anyone, anytime, any day. Not a problem.
Well, that's something that I would strongly suggest is to push him into trying to do open appearances, you know, and we'll try to push him on the show. Try to push him on here to see, because he won't come out of his shell. And matter of fact, I think he rated, the last time we checked, was around number 11 out of all the congressmen. They had a listing. I think he was around number 11. He was pretty low at the bottom there. So I hadn't seen that in a few years or whatever. But that's what you might look up and see what the ratings are, how each congressman is, you know, I don't know where that information came from. That might be something you might want to look up and see where he falls at. He might be at number 7 now. Who knows? So
I'll take a peek. I was Congressman Van Dyne the other day, and it was very interesting conversation. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, but yeah, that, I just wonder how you're doing on your Spanish, and then helping that, and I'd like to see you give it a good go, you know, in here on this round.
We'd
love to see
win.
Mark Beasley out.
Failure is not an option.
Yeah.
Failure is not an option. I am here for the people. It's time to unite, and it's not about me. It's about you in 2022. That's my campaign slogan, and you know, it's you can't take anything with you, but what you can do is you can leave something good behind and help other people out and build them up and, you know, help them provide for their families. I adopted 3 families this Christmas just to take care of them. So it's all about doing what's right.
Yep, that's mainly it there, I believe. Well, what's your and one other question real quick, and I think and we can probably, if you want to, we can pretty much wrap it up here.
Yes, sir.
Unless anybody does push the 1 on the phone and want to have a question, you know, if they don't have questions, they're just listening in. But the question was, that memory cells of mine are going away. It comes in and it goes right away there. There was a question I wanted to bring up to you.
You're fine.
I need to run for office.
While you're thinking about that question, I just wanted to let Robert know. Talking about Mark Vesey, I'm a recent graduate of Texas Wesleyan University with a degree in mass communications, which was essentially the same degree that Mark Vesey had. Also, during my time as tenure of the editor-in-chief of the Rambler, which is Texas Wesleyan student-run news organization, I reached out to Vesey's office about getting a comment on a story from him, and I never heard any contact back. And I was calling from his alma mater's paper, so...
Yeah, I reclaim my thought there.
If somebody calls me or emails me, I'm going to get back to you. You know what? That's kind of ridiculous these days that people don't actually call you back or something like that. I think it's just poor management.
Now, what I did like about your Facebook, Robert, was I believe you had your phone number on there, and that's what I liked, was phone numbers on there. It's still to reach everybody, you know, phone numbers. And I actually found that thought. It ran back around in front of my brain here again. Have you got any upcoming events that you are planning to do?
My goodness. If I open up my phone, my Google Calendar, I might be able to ramble off about 100 events.
Well, I don't know if you had anything near future that you want to mention right now. You're welcome to, if you wanted to mention anything that's right next on your list or whatever, if you had anything. That's all. I just wanted to bring that up just in case you wanted to plug anything.
I appreciate that. I might just, if I open it up, it'll scramble my brain a little bit based on my calendar. I think I'll be with Ted Cruz this week. I'll be with a couple other folks. We're going down to the border, I think, next week to actually look and see what's going on down there, and trying to schedule some time in Austin. We've got the border coming up, and not next week, but the following week, and a little time with Ted Cruz and a few other things. And I'll probably be out panhandling out in front of a few events with, Laura Trump's coming in town. I believe I'll be at that one as well.
What town is that he's coming to?
What's that?
What town is Trump coming to?
Or
did you
Laura
say Trump?
Trump, I think it's...
Laura Trump. Okay, I knew Trump came here already to Dallas, so Laura Trump's coming to town, huh? Okay.
Yes, I believe so. I've got the flyer somewhere around here on my desk or something like that.
When is she coming to town? You get a chance, shoot me an email. Let us know.
She'll be on the 26th.
On the 26th of this month?
Yes, sir.
Wow, okay. And where's she at?
So she'll be at Collin County Conservative Republicans.
Collin County.
So,
okay, well, we'll
Google
that.
She'll be
find out
Collin
some more
County.
About
you
her.
Know, it's not my district, but it's... Just a little opportunity to say hello and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're hitting them all. you
well,
know,
she's no eyesore, I'll tell you that. So she'll draw a good crowd.
No, she'll draw a great crowd, yeah. The people up there in Collin County, they do a great job. And so we were at Keller the other day. We were at Fuller Zoo the other day, you know, both Greg Abbott events. We've spent time with Alan West. We've spent time with Don Huffines. So it's
Good
ride.
Been up.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, you guys have been fantastic, man. I really appreciate y'all letting me talk with you guys.
Yeah,
you guys
Robert,
are great.
You said you're going to take a trip down to the border this week. I was wondering, is that going to be your first trip or have you been down before?
This will be my first trip, actually, to be honest with you. I will go down there. I don't have her name in front of me. Miss Sanchez, I believe is her last name. We're going to go down. We'll actually meet with some of the Border Patrol agents. They're having a big problem with trash down there, which is kind of amazing. You know, and all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to go get my, I'm going to go and bring a trash bag and help clean up the border and actually meet with the Border Patrol agents and different things like that and see it firsthand and actually be right there on the water. So looking forward to that.
All right, Robert. Well, I want to appreciate you for coming on our podcast tonight and discussing the issues with us. I hope once everything's settled with this primary here, we can get you back on the podcast to discuss a little bit more with us and some more specifics.
Oh, absolutely. I really appreciate y'all's time. And, if there's anything I can do to help you guys out, I will. And this has been great. I really appreciate your time.
All right.
Appreciate
thank you.
Appreciate you coming on, Robert. It's been, been very great and very, very interesting hearing about your life and everything and what's happening there.
Yeah, it's an honor. Thank you very much.
Okay. And like James says, I hope that, we'll be looking forward to reaching out to you again and have you come back on maybe in the next several months here. We get in the middle of the, everybody takes a break after this and then before the primaries start heating up. Maybe you can tell us what's going on at the border there. Tell us how the fence, if it's still standing or not. Tell us if we still have a border patrol.
Can I broach the fence a little bit for a second?
Sure. Absolutely.
So I was talking to a gentleman with Abbott's committee, we'll just say, we're having to buy all new materials versus the stuff that's sitting there. I think that should go on the ballot as far as being able, we've already paid for it and it's just sitting there. We should not be having to buy new materials to build our wall. That Texas has put $3 billion towards funding. We're not allowed to touch it based on federal regulations in the Supreme Court. So there is something really wrong there, that it's just sitting there rusting, and we're not able to touch it. So I think that's really important.
Well,
we should be able to back the truck up and
what's wrong there is
the
what's wrong there is what's sitting at the White House. That's what's wrong.
Exactly.
There, I believe.
It's being blocked by the administration, and we need to go and be able to back a truck up, pick up the materials, and put the wall up ourselves. But there's all this federal regulation that's a bunch of garbage that we need to get in there and use what you and I have paid for. Be honest with you. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I'm like, they're selling it for pennies on the dollar, but we're not allowed to touch it to put a wall up. So, anyway, that's just
sometimes like living in a bad sitcom.
It is a bad sitcom. So, I mean, there's a thousand different topics we can broach. But again, thank you guys. I'm holding you up now. So,
no, it's no problem.
Yeah, you guys are great. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Y'all have a wonderful evening.
All right.
Okay,
thank
Robert.
You.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
James,
I just want to remind everybody we'll be back here next week from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time for another edition of Blog Talk Radio. Bob, do you have anything you want to say in closing?
I'm not sure who our guest will be, whether it'll be Tim O'Hare or Huck Fine, or if it'll be someone else. There's a little bit of confusing in the scheduling there. So Wednesday we'll put out the schedule through our email and on the website at fwdistrict5.com. And we thank Robert for being our guest, and I definitely enjoyed it. And that's all I have to say for the night, and I appreciate everybody's time. Thank you.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and may God bless each and every one of you in the great city of Fort Worth, Texas. Until next week, folks, good night.
Hey, guys.